That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. That feels like a Friday because this is our last show of the week. Jack and I are both heading out of town for some events that we must partake in.
It's very exciting. It's a Thursday that feels like a Friday, and that's the sort of energy that we're going to bring to you today, like
constantly.
A little gotta get down on Thursday energy.
We've got to get down on Thursday. We've got to free Britney. There's so much to do on the docket today feeling overwhelmed.
I know, and I'm looking forward to it because there's been a dearth.
There has been a dearth in things to talk about.
And there's been a surplus of mindlessness.
But we've been making do with it.
We have been, and it's always so fun, and like I personally like, you know, the challenge of finding stories outside of the norm.
I know you do.
But there's a lot to talk about today. One, the Britney stuff is just
heartbreaking,
mind-blowing. Like, it's crazy how much we now know.
Yes.
You know?
She speaks.
She spoke, and so we're going to talk all about that. But also, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I really need to unpack how I'm feeling.
Yeah, because I had a major shift of heart.
I was going back and forth. Like, really, at one point, I was like, oh my God, I take back everything I said. Like,
yes, are you talking about Crystal and Sutton?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Erica.
Oh my God, no, that was community theater at its finest. I didn't even really give any, like, I wasn't even listening because whatever you're telling me, it's a fucking lie. You didn't leave him because he didn't say love you back when you dropped him off at work. You left him because he stole money from widows and orphans and you quite possibly knew about it. Like, that was literally acting. I'm talking about Crystal and Sutton. Like, I was so team Crystal, and like, now I just feel like she's like light, like liking the attention of like all this drama, and so she's like prolonging it while saying she doesn't want to be prolonging it.
Yeah,
whatever. We'll get into it.
We'll get
in the
into
TV
it.
Recap.
But no, I had a lot to say about it, and then I also watched Siesta Key, which is just like such a good show right now because they made the most of COVID, and they're still in the Grenadines.
Right.
And every week, like new people come to the island.
And it's like Bachelor in Paradise.
No, literally, it's Bachelor in Paradise, but it's all like former enemies.
Love that.
Of theirs. And Kara, do you remember Kara?
Nose job
Kara, who never got a fair shake on the show to begin
Agreed.
With. Who, like, she showed up and everyone decided to be mean to her without even giving her a
just
chance.
Just because she was with Garrett.
Because she was with Garrett and she was, like, friends with Alex. And then Chloe was, like kind of egging her on to, like, be mean to the other girls. And I just felt like she never got a fair chance. And I always, like, felt RDH about the
her.
Way it went down for her. And now she's back. And I'm so glad.
I'm so behind on Siesta Key, so I will very much look forward to, I only watched the first two episodes this season. I've got to get my shit together. So I'm looking forward to hearing the recap from your mouth to Juliet's ears.
Yeah, to God's ears.
Same thing.
God loves Siesta Key.
God loves Juliet. So we have a lot to do today, and I'm just feeling excited, you know? I'm heading to Vegas.
That's so exciting.
And I'm just, like, actually so excited to, like, be in a casino, like, smell the cigarettes. Like, I can't wait.
Are you going
to
gamble?
Of course. I mean, I don't have a lot of time. I'm literally in Vegas for, like, 17 hours, but I have a feeling I'll find some time.
Yeah.
Leave it to me to find time.
That's exciting for you.
Yeah, I love gambling.
You really do.
I do.
You do.
So I feel like we should jump right in because there's actually a lot to cover.
Yeah, like mustn't dilly-dally.
And we've dilly-dallied long enough.
I'll just give one update, which is that I finished Malibu Rising. So good. 5 stars.
Oh.
It's really great.
I just bought it on the Kindle.
You're going to love
for
it.
My plane today.
It was so good.
I also bought the new Sally Hepworth book, Good Sister. Is that what it's called? So if I have time, maybe one on the flight there, one on the flight back. I don't know.
You could, Good Sister is a shorter read. Malibu Rising like felt long, but I didn't want it to end. Also, it's two totally different books, the first half and the second half.
Oh, I hate that.
No. Like, it's the same book, but she just like turned it around.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's
oh,
really
I understand what you mean. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think without further ado, going back to saying it, because it's our show and these things make us happy, me at least, and make us special.
We are nothing if not special.
Right. So without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And I polled the people.
On your Instagram.
The people like the quirks.
You're so quirky. You are not like other girls, like at all.
I know.
And you know who else isn't like other animals? The zebra. I tried. Today's episode is brought to you by The Zebra. Think about all the purchases you made in quarantine. Pizza deliveries, succulents. Then there's one of your biggest purchases, insurance. Americans overspend on car and home insurance by billions every year, and that's money you could have spent on more retail therapy or, I don't know, Patreon. That's where The Zebra can help you. The Zebra is the nation's leading insurance company comparison site for car and home insurance. In minutes, you can compare policies from every major provider for free, all in one independent marketplace. After a few questions, The Zebra pairs people with the right insurance company for them, helping everyone save time and money. Make insurance your smartest purchase yet. Visit thezebra.com/toast to get your free quote today. Visit thezebra.com/toast for a free quote. And don't overspend on insurance. There's so many other things like food you could be spending your money on.
Seriously, I'll give you a list of things.
Oh, she's a laptop girly today?
I'm on my laptop today because I forgot to charge my iPad. I figured it was charged and it wasn't. And it just didn't have the strength for the show.
We talk about this like every few months. Like, I don't understand why you don't leave your iPad here and just charge it like every time you leave. You take it with you. And of course, you're not going to charge it at home.
I do charge it at home. I don't know. But did you? It just feels, I guess I could. Maybe I'll try to start doing that. But I have a system. System works, you know?
But the system does fail, like this today.
Yes, but I had my computer, which I also always have. I always have backup a backup plan. And if some reason my computer was dead, I would use my phone.
Yeah, when you are gone and I have to like be in charge of the show with the co-host, I do all the stories from my phone. And first of all, like
chaos,
literally, like my eyes get so tired. It's like tiny little font. And it just looks like if you're watching on YouTube, like I'm on my phone the whole time.
100%.
It's like I couldn't be interested in what like Taylor Strecker has to say because I'm just like reading texts.
No, 100%. And I think the laptop looks pretty serious. Like, yeah. Do, 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 do. What is she working on?
Do, 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 do. It's Mr. McCorgy. What's his name?
Mr. McCorky.
Do, 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 do. Pick it up, Kim. Do, 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 do.
Hi, Mr. McCorky.
Kim, where are you?
I'm about to do my show.
Kim, fuck your little passion project. We've got villains to slay.
Mr. McCorky, I'm so passionate. Okay. Are you ready for our first story? Like, yes. No more dilly-dally.
Not unless we're freeing Britney.
Of course we are. It's our first, second, third, fourth, and fifth story. Okay. Just kidding. But it's the big one. Britney Spears' conservatorship case. Her full statement is here. Britney Spears spoke before a Los Angeles court on Wednesday, giving a fervent speech on the details of her 13-year conservatorship. In her nearly 30-minute virtual address before an LA court and Judge Brenda Penny, the singer spoke out against her father, Jamie Spears, and her management team, saying that she is, quote, traumatized.
And her family. She kept referring to her family, kind of implying that, like, she lumps in her dad with her mom and her sisters. Like, I was shook by that. I really was.
I was as well. Quote, I've lied and told the whole world I'm okay and I'm happy. I'm not happy. I can't sleep. I'm depressed. I cry every day. Shortly after, the singer asked to end the 13-year conservatorship, saying, I just want my life back. It's been 13 years and it's been enough.
There were so many takeaways from this speech. Like, so many bombshells came out.
So many, like, shocking tidbits about what she's been going through.
And I think the most shocking thing, at least for me, was the way that she spoke. Because we're used to this voice she puts on Instagram. It's actually concerning when you see it because it's like, oh, this person is maybe struggling because she's, like, talking very strange. She was so coherent, so articulate. Like, she was not at all like that weird kind of persona she puts on Instagram. And, like, for me, these were the craziest bombshells. One, that they put an IUD in her and yeah. She can't get pregnant. Because she said, I just want to live my life. I want to marry my boyfriend and I want to have babies. And I currently can't because someone put an IUD in me. That's insane. Mm-hmm. Two, they put her on lithium, mm-hmm. which is, like, the strongest drug in the world that she says she does not need.
Yeah.
Three is that, and this was, like, actually really crazy to me because she has all these meetings every week with, like, managers and therapists and nurses who she's paying, but she didn't approve. She's like, you have to meet with a therapist. You have to like them. They just make her go to therapy. And if she doesn't, she gets punished. And they make her go to therapy in downtown LA. And then they call the paparazzi. So, of course, she leaves a forced therapy session, very emotional. The paparazzi gets pictures of her crying in the middle of downtown LA. And it continues this narrative that Britney's unwell. She needs the conservatorship. Look, she's struggling. When she's like, just can I have the therapist come to my house? And can I get it to be a therapist that I like?
Yeah.
And can I meet the therapist once a week instead of three times a week? Like, she's not even asking for anything so crazy. I just can imagine, like, how powerless it is to make all this money. And not only do you not have access to it, but other people are spending it on your behalf.
Yeah.
Like, that's infuriating.
In horrible, awful ways.
Yeah. Making you look crazy.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. There were so many like stories that she shared, even like when she was rehearsing for her tour, and there was one dance move that she didn't want to do. And by the way, she said that she choreographs like her whole tour. She does the whole thing. There was one dance move that she didn't want to do, and they were like, Britney's being difficult. She won't comply with what we need her to do. And they used that as an excuse to put her on more medication.
Right. And with the dance thing, they said that like, all the dancers and all the people at the choreography like session were like, Britney's so unwell, like she can't. And then a video, I think maybe Sam took it. It's a video of Britney at that choreography session where she's leading it. She's choreographing the dance and she's showing it to everyone and she's so with it. And she looks like she's actually like having a good time. Like there's just like the conservatorship is problematic for a million reasons. But also what I realized yesterday is like part of the conservatorship's like biggest mission is to make Britney look bad publicly so that the judge and just the world doesn't think that she should get out of the conservatorship. Yeah. Like it's the best thing for her.
Yeah. I mean this has reached a critical national mass spotlight. I really hope that the judge and the court system do right by her. Like she needs freedom. She's not a free person.
No. And
she's proven that she's very capable of living being life. In charge of her life.
Yeah. And like the other thing I took away from her whole speech is like, I love Sam Asghari. Like he's literally a hero. She can't drive alone with him in a car. Like she's legally or conservatorship wise, not allowed to get in a car with him alone. And I just feel like I kind of wrote off their relationship because like, I don't know, like I just didn't think much of it, but I actually feel like we've gotten to the place that we're at with the help of Sam Asghari. Like I think he's really good for her.
Yeah, definitely. Also they would like use her kids as bait to like make her do stuff. Like if you don't do this, you won't be able to see your kids. But then they would put her somewhere and she wouldn't be able to see her kids.
And also like, where's Kevin Federline? I would absolutely love to hear from him.
Yeah.
Do you think he's part of the conservatorship? Like, because you have to imagine all these people who are wanting to keep Britney in this conservatorship are benefiting from it financially. Of course her dad is. There's no doubt about that. What it seems like is like her whole family is. Maybe Kevin Federline is too. Like, why would Kevin Federline participate in that? Like,
I don't know. I can't imagine he has that much power
in the situation. Unless he's getting, you know, benefited from the conservatorship, so he just does what they say.
Yeah.
Which I could see being a possibility.
Yeah, probably.
So it was crazy to hear her speak, like, in a real voice. Yeah. Like, it was that was, like, the first big shock to
me.
And
I think what's even crazier is, like, this whole Free Britney thing, up until really yesterday, it's been sort of like a conspiracy mm-hmm. idea. And, you know, there was the case that, like, no, she needs the conservatorship. Britney's okay. Like, everyone is blowing this out of
proportion. They're protecting her.
But then what she shared yesterday, it's actually so much worse than I think anybody thought.
Yeah, me too. At first, I was like, I mean, that sucks, but, like, she's, you know, locked up in her mansion doing art and trying on clothes. Like, how bad could it be? But it's really abuse. Like,
abuse.
It's physical abuse, putting, like, drugs in her body that she doesn't consent to, putting an IUD in her body. It's control. It's literally, like, hostage.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's actually, like, the craziest pop culture development, I feel like, of our generation. Like, because it literally all started with a podcast.
Yeah.
The movement.
The movement has been very grassroots.
But I also feel like the movement and the momentum and the documentary, that gave Britney like the strength to speak on it. Like I feel like if there wasn't this outcry from her fans, from the community, she might have just stayed silent.
Yeah, or like if there wasn't this huge interest, you know, she would have spoken to a court, but like this was a virtual statement that, you know, everyone was sharing mm-hmm. through the internet. Like this wasn't like a broadcasted thing.
No, I thought that it was going to be broadcast. I was literally on YouTube looking for the live stream, but it was not.
I read the transcript.
I watched a video, like the Free Britney like stands were outside the courthouse, and there's like a speaker outside the courthouse that lets you hear what's going on inside, and somebody recorded that. Oh, and wow. Put it on Twitter.
Wow.
That's See, where I
but
saw
like
it.
That's where the movement is so important, because if there was less interest in it, then she just would have given her speech to the court, and the judge, like the judge did 2 years ago, would have shut her down. But now they can't.
It was a 30-minute speech.
Yeah.
And I wonder what is the timeline? Like when do we hear the verdict? I do have like a small amount of faith that the judge is a woman. I just feel like women are more sympathetic.
But wasn't she saying in the speech that like this was the same she pleaded with this judge 2 years ago.
Did she?
And shared so much of this and nothing changed.
Do you think the judge has seen like the Free Britney documentary? She probably can't. Like she has to remain completely impartial.
I don't know if she's seen the documentary, but I think she's seen the headlines this morning.
Yeah. I mean, it was powerful. Like I don't know how you could be in the room. Like I watched it, a video of a speaker, and I was impacted by it. So I don't know how you could be in the room and not like have just enormous sympathy for her. And she's like, what her lawyers are asking is not for, you know, a new conservator, because that's what happened. This woman, Jody, who replaced her dad, ended up being worse. And she's working with the dad. And that's what Britney said in her speech. She was like, Jody, like you were, That was a good development the last time we reported on it. Like, all right, the conservatorship is still in place, but at least it's not the dad anymore. It's a court-appointed Jody. And what Brittany said is, like, Jody's worse than anyone else. She's like, my life is hell. So a new conservator wouldn't even help. Like, the conservatorship just got to go.
Yes. Yeah. No, like,
it's just time.
It's time. I agree.
It's been 13 years. Like, and you know what? A conservatorship is basically, like, when you don't think a person is able to take care of themselves, someone comes in and, you know, controls it for them. First of all, Britney seems fine. And I know people way worse off who are literally in control of their own lives. So it's so stupid. Like,
so stupid. And also, like, the fact it makes no sense. 1 + 1 = sock that she can go on these tours and
yes!
And support all these people. She said this too, like tours, trucks, buses,
residencies,
like all these things that she's doing. But she can't even take care of herself. But right. She takes care of thousands of people. Right. Sure.
You know, she does all of that.
Sure, Jody.
Yeah. Sure, Jody. Exactly. Like, that's the thing. It's like, well, if she's so unwell, how was she literally like the most successful Vegas residency pop star? Like, it actually doesn't make sense.
No.
That's such a good point, too.
And she made that point.
I just would have loved a little bit of clarification on who runs the Instagram. Because I feel like it's not her. If she doesn't have control of her life, she doesn't have control of her Instagram. So she might film content and have to, like, submit it. And they post it, like, la-di-da, like thinking they're tricking us. But, like, we're not.
No, not at all. Interesting.
It's a crazy development. We'll keep you abreast. I don't know when, like, a judgment is coming. But I think we're all just really hopeful. And honestly, if we don't get, like, the answer we're looking for, like, it's just going to be, it's taken us 13 years to get to this point. And I feel like Britney is going to be broken. Like,
I don't see how we don't get the verdict.
I know, but
I don't know what will happen. Cause I really think that now everybody, even people who like weren't interested in this, like are now hearing yeah. No human being deserves to be treated this way.
No, it's really awful. And honestly, like, I just feel like everyone in all the lawyers, I just feel like everyone's paid off. And that's what Britney said. She's like, I was watching Rose McGowan did a segment on Fox News about it. And I actually learned a lot from her. They paid off doctors in the beginning of the conservatorship to say that Britney had dementia. So can someone in dementia sing literally for 2 hours straight songs from 10 years ago? Right.
Remember all their lyrics.
And that's how they got the conservatorship. So everyone's been paid off. So like, yeah. If it doesn't go the way that it should, it's because like, it's so corrupt.
Yeah. But I think that the spotlight on this
puts pressure
and all those like evil forces that work in the dark are now have come to light.
Yeah. Well, we are rooting for Britney constantly. And you know what? Got my gavel. Justice for Chris Crocker.
Who?
Leave Britney alone. He's been talking about the Free Britney movement before it was popular.
Yeah.
Also, he's literally the first Free Britney stan.
True justice for Britney.
Well, of course, yes.
In the
and
courts.
If that judge, Brenda, doesn't use her gavel to sway in the cause of justice like this, I'll be very upset.
Yeah.
And she doesn't deserve to hold this sacred mallard.
No. Mallard or mallet?
Sacred mallet.
Right? Well, I have my computer today.
Mallard is that thing from Sex and the City that are all over Trey and...
Mallet is what we are.
And a mallard is like those duck things that are, you know, in Charlotte and Trey's apartment?
I'm looking.
Bunny decorates it with all those ducks.
Oh, yeah.
A mallard.
It's a duck.
Yeah.
It's a kind of duck. That's really funny.
Yeah. I actually just watched an episode of Sex and the City about the mallards, so that's why I said mallard yesterday, too.
Got it. You were close.
I'm so smart. Like, it's disgusting.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
I feel like once we stop talking about Free Britney, like, we lose our momentum, but we do have to move on. I just want to say, like, we support the Free Britney movement, and what's going on in our justice system is a disgrace.
Disgrace.
Towards the judicial branch of this government.
Disgrace towards the word justice.
Literally.
Okay, but our next story is also some big news of the day. Scooter Braun did a profile
yes. In
Variety talking about his illustrious career from, you know, his beginnings till now. And he was asked a question about Taylor Swift, and that's every headline in the news today.
Yeah, sad, because I read the article. And honestly, like, if you can separate the Scooter Braun from the Taylor Swift, like, what Scooter Braun has built business-wise is arguably one of the most impressive businesses in Hollywood. He just got acquired for $1 billion by a Japanese company. His company is not even just talent management, it's merch, it's art of virtual reality. It's actually so impressive. And like, the only thing people care about from this article is the Taylor Swift of it all, because honestly, they're just contradicting each other. Like, how can it be 1 + 1 = sock? Like, Scooter never reached out to me. I reached out to Taylor multiple times. Which is it?
Yeah. So in a new profile for Variety, the 40-year-old music mogul maintained that he offered Swift every opportunity to buy back his masters, her masters, and said that he's sad about how his acquisition of Taylor Swift's masters recordings went over with the singer. He said, "I regret and it makes me sad that Taylor had that reaction to the deal. All of what happened has been very confusing and not based on anything factual. I don't know what story she was told. I asked for her to sit down with me several times, but she refused. I offered to sell her the catalog back and went under NDA, but her team refused. It all seems very unfortunate."
I feel like this is like a little bit of like gaslighting. Like, "I'm sorry that it went that way." And he said, like, "You know, me and Taylor had only met a few times before this and it was like very civil." Well, that's like really gaslighting, because like, let's talk about like the public thing, like, you know, the screenshot with Kanye, Justin Bieber. Like, there was more than the FaceTime. Yeah, there was more than just like a few casual meetings. Like, you can't understand. You might not agree, but you can't understand why Taylor doesn't like you.
Yeah, but when he said the thing, like, offered to go sell her the catalog and wanted to go under NDA, because that's what you do when, like, you're going into an agreement, it harks back to when she said in November 2020 that he requested she sign an NDA that would silence her forever.
Yeah.
And that's where two things can be true, just from two different people's point of view. There was an NDA on the table. Taylor saw it as silencing her forever. Scooter saw it as the introduction to a business deal.
That's true, actually. Like, perspective.
It's so, I think both of their POVs can be rooted in what actually happened, but like anything else, they see it differently.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I didn't really care about this, the Taylor parts of the article, because like, I stand with my girl Taylor. Like, whatever she tells me, I believe. Like, I really do. But I think what people are missing from this article is like, his business is so impressive. And he got acquired for $1 billion, to which he profited about $400 million. And he gave over 40 people, like, millions of dollars in from
stock.
The deal.
In yeah.
stock. One, he gave it to, like, Justin Bieber and Ariana, who, like, really built the company. Like, if it weren't for them, he wouldn't have much credibility. He gave it to, like, certain people at the company who started with him, people who, like, were early employees. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, really cool. I think if you read the article, you'll have it. If you've only heard about Scooter Braun, like, from the Taylor Swift Masters drama, I think you'll have a whole new world of context around him as a business person. And I think in the saga between him and Taylor, I think that it was a feather in his cap. You know,
oh, you think?
1 point for Scooter. Yeah, I mean, Taylor's obviously, like, in the public narrative has won this argument. Scooter is the villain. He stole her mm-hmm. masters. And I think that the article as a whole is just one small win for Scooter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do think this is all part of, and he says, like, the journalist asked him, like, "You became, like, this villain. Like, does it bother you what people think about you?" And his answer was, like, very generic. Like, with, you know, with success comes, you know, all different types of perceptions about you and controversy, which is true. But I do think he's deeply bothered by, like, the narrative that's been said about him, because he probably believes it to not be true.
Yeah. Also, I think for, like, up until the Taylor Swift stuff, like, he was very, like, a B2B guy. Like, if you're in the industry, you know, yes. Scooter Braun, like, you have so much respect for him. And, like, the Taylor Swift stuff made him, like, so B2C. Like, everyone.
He was a celebrity.
And his, like, public-facing self now is just associated with this, like,
that's
master's
so true.
Drama.
People don't even think about, like, the business, like, what he did for, like, the 10 years before Taylor Swift drama.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I do think it's interesting how so many of his clients have such wonderful things to say about him. When I read the story yesterday, and then I read the Britney transcript and her talking about, like, her shitty management team, and I was like, I think she needs to be managed by Scooter.
Well, that's what Scooter said about the Taylor thing. He was like, "It meant a lot to me that all the people, like Demi and Ariana, Justin, they all stood by him, and he feels like that was validation for him that, like, he was right." And honestly, like, that's fair, but I stand with Taylor.
Okay.
But I still have respect for the business.
Yeah.
It's actually, if the article is super interesting. If you like, if you hate Scooter, like, you're just going to hate it. But if you're interested in the business of Hollywood, it's super interesting.
Yeah.
And how he got acquired, and this, I forget his name, but like the CEO of the Japanese company that acquired him, like, became his mentor to him and gave him, like, such great pieces of advice. And it was actually an interesting article from that. I didn't even care about the Taylor stuff because honestly, I'm really not interested in hearing any other side than Taylor's. Like, I just stand with Taylor. Like, I believe what she said happened, and I believe Taylor.
Okay. Also, I thought that another interesting thing that he said, because they asked about Justin Bieber going back on tour, because, like, his two tours ago, he canceled 14 shows. The tour before
didn't sell.
Got canceled because of COVID
They said literally it was arenas and then they like downgraded to stadiums. And then thankfully like COVID was a good excuse for them. They're like, oh, we just have to cancel all them.
That like doesn't make sense to me because Justin Bieber.
But think about before the pandemic, like he was in a weird place. And literally during the pandemic, it was bop after bop after bop. And I would not miss a Justin Bieber concert right now.
Yeah.
A year ago, like, you couldn't pay me.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, he talked about how, like, him being with Haley on tour.
Oh.
Like, because they were like,
I didn't get the whole article.
Because Justin doesn't have a good experience with touring, really. Yeah. So they were like, what will be different for the next tour? Like, what makes you sure that, like, it's going to go well? And he was like, well, he has Haley by his side now, like, someone who really has his back. And, like, he's going to be with him at every single stop. And, like, that she's just a really good partner for him. So I thought that was really nice.
I saw the Purpose tour with, like, the trampolines. I mean, it was stunning, but, like, he was jumping around on a trampoline and, like, was not singing.
I saw the one, I think it was probably Purpose.
It's the Christian, like, is that his first, like, Christian-ish album?
Yeah.
I loved that album.
Yeah, I saw it recently, like, 5 years ago, so I think it was Purpose. It was good, but he wasn't singing.
Yeah, no, he was jumping around on a trampoline.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for our next story?
Only if it's the next story that's brought to you by Noom.
It is.
When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to find out. Let me start again. I had a little burp. When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure out there to label foods as good or bad, but that just creates unnecessary dilemmas. Noom is here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, Noom empowers you to keep going. You don't need rules to lose weight, just the knowledge and wisdom to help you build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach helps you unlearn bad habits and better understand your relationship with food. One size does not fit all. Choose your goals and Noom will personalize a weight loss program just for you. 80% of Noom users finish the program and over 60% have stuck with their goals for at least a year. You have been on the Noom
living the Noom life
for a really long time now.
Yeah, for a few years now. And
what's your favorite part?
My favorite part is just the consistency of it. It just really feels like even no matter how far you stray, like Noom is always there. It's never too late to get back on Noom and to let them know what you've been up to. Like Noom doesn't judge.
Yeah,
which is my favorite thing.
Unlike
about
Noom. Me,
like they know that you're living too.
Yeah. Girls gotta eat. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/toast. That's noom.com/toast.
Thank you for that, Claudia.
You are unbelievably welcome.
Okay, next story. Netflix gives a 2-season order to the dating show Sexy Beasts with Catastrophe star Rob Delaney as the narrator.
Great. Like, literally moronic shows left, right, and center. No season 2 of The Society. I will never stop bringing it up.
Right. We get 2 seasons of Sexy Beasts, which is actually just like The Masked Dater.
It's The Masked Singer meets Love is Blind.
Yeah, where these people are going on dates in elaborate masks. Like, not just like, you know, a face mask. Like,
no, it's The Masked Singer. They look like mascots.
It's like prosthetics and everything. If you watch the trailer, it's like so ridiculous. It actually looks like that commercial for that.
Yes.
Where that girl.
Match.com.
The girl is Ryan going Reynolds. On dates with 2020. Devil. The devil.
And Satan and 2020 are going on a date together. That's what it is.
Yes, exactly. That's what the trailer for the show looks like. And now it's coming to Netflix. It has 2 seasons, which sees singles heading into blind dates transformed into various animals and mythical creatures through the use of Hollywood movie prosthetics. The show is based on Lion TV's original British series for the digital BBC Three in 2014.
Can I tell you why it sounds stupid? Because Love is Blind, for me, why we loved it so much and the whole world loved it, one, because it was quarantine and we had nothing to do. No, actually, it was not quarantine. It was before. I take that back. Why we liked it so much was because it was finally like a serious dating show. Like, The Bachelor's become so like kitschy. Like, Love is Blind was so real. We got Amber and Barnett. Like, we really developed real relationships from it. And it was a journey and it was like a crazy experiment, but it was still very serious. Lauren and Cameron, like, there were, and this just feels like it's doing the Love is Blind template, but taking the seriousness out of it.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure they'll have like real couples from it. And I think because it's Netflix, they have the time to really like develop these relationships. And based on the trailer, like, it looks like people maybe fall in love. But just like, how can you watch this with a straight face?
No, I know. And like, honestly, what's really getting me like all bent out of shape about it is how they just like kind of with this dumb idea like strolled into 2 seasons and we couldn't even, I'm sorry, I'm never going to stop bringing it up, like why we couldn't get a second season of The Society. It's so disgraceful. Like, The Society was literally, I want to say, like, one of the smartest, best, most compelling shows of our generation
for the young sect. Yes.
Yeah. No, I think old people like it too. It's fascinating. Such an interesting concept. Great acting.
Yeah, no, it was so good. And I agree. We can confirm 2 seasons of this, but we couldn't confirm 2 seasons of The Society.
And I think they actually did confirm 2 seasons of The Society. And then, like, after it launched and everyone loved it, they decided to take the second one away. Like, I just want to know what happened. Like,
COVID.
Who did Catherine Newton piss off? Like, no, what happened?
It was one of the COVID casualties. And I think that, like, Netflix, I think they made the wrong choice. And I'm still holding out hope that they will correct what they did.
Or, like, someone pick it up. Like, it's just, it's really not okay. And the way they left us.
Netflix is what picks up shows that were, like, unrightfully canceled.
And if they had said it was just a one season kind of thing, like Queen's Gambit, and, like, the end was left up to interpretation, like, we could have, you know, lived with that. But the fact that they giveth and then taketh away, that's what most hurt me.
No, it hurts so bad. And then it hurts more when you see
this idiocy.
Shit like this.
Yeah, moronic. I'll probably watch it, but still.
Maybe.
No, honestly.
The only thing is that Netflix actually does a really good job at reality shows.
Right. And, like, I don't even watch The Circle because I watched first episode and I thought it was, like, kind of silly. People love it. Like, yeah. People really do love these, like, stupid. And even I thought The Masked Singer was such a dumb fucking idea the first time I saw it. I'm like, this is not going to last. It is a cultural phenomenon. So, like, maybe we're wrong, but it looks so stupid. Like, I really can't do this today. Like, it's a lot. Like, yeah. It's a lot.
I agree. Like,
I'm dealing with Britney. Like, I'm dealing with a lot.
And then you have to see, like,
this moronic lunacy.
Yeah. I agree. And actually, if you watch a trailer, which you should, like, it really looks like an SNL parody of a show.
Yes.
Like, The Masked Dater. Like, a joke.
When is Selling Sunset coming back?
I hopefully soon.
Do you see Chrishell bought a $3 million house? Like, yes, Chrishell.
No, I didn't. Where is it?
It's so nice. Honestly, it looks nicer than, like, one Justin Hartley might be able to afford, you know?
Where is it? Plus, they were living in the Valley before. Mm-hmm. Is it in the Valley?
I'm really not clear on the geography of LA. Like, to me, the whole thing is Beverly Hills, but, like, that's just not true.
I'm not clear on it either, but Selling Sunset got me to a clearer place, which is, like, there are the hills, which, like, wrap around a million times.
I know the hills. They're literal hills.
And then
hills.
Also, like, if you're just thinking of geography, like, where there is a hill, there's most likely a valley.
Oh, man, that's such a good call. But, like, when I used to watch TV shows, like, okay, Cher, when her dad called her and she was at a party in the Valley, he was like, are you in the Valley? Like, the Valley
sounds
was
like Kuwait.
Literally. And then, like, in Entourage, they had to, like, go down to the Valley, and it was a power outage, and they were so hot, and they went to that party. Like, the Valley's always, like, considered bad, but now, like, all the Vanderpump Rules kids live in Valley Village. No, I'm just confused.
That's why if you watch Selling Sunset and Chrishell became their, like, Valley ambassador, the Valley's really coming up, and you can get a little bit more land. I think it's great for families.
So she probably moved to the Valley. If you want to just Google Chrishell Stauff's house, it's so nice. Like, the backyard looks like a farm chemin dream. Like, so much open air, like, views.
That's
a pool.
Like, very Valley-ish.
Yeah, she probably does live in the Valley. She couldn't be, like, the Valley spokesperson for the Oppenheim group and not live in the Valley.
100%. I think she was really passionate about the Valley. I don't think she was putting on.
And who better than us understands passions?
Hollywood Hills.
Disgrace. Absolute disgrace.
That's really upsetting. Oh, my God. This house is fucking stunning.
I know, right? And she did it all by herself. Like, I'm actually really happy for her.
Wow.
She got that Dancing with the Stars money. That's Selling Sunset Netflix money.
I'm really excited for the next season of Selling Sunset because Christine is just interesting woman.
I'm going to need Marion Roman, like, not to return in order to make the show watchable.
I agree.
What the show giveth?
Christine. Yeah.
They taketh away Mary.
I totally agree. Okay, are you ready for our next story? It's like some random news.
Sure. Wow, way to sell it.
Yeah, sorry. Like, Jerry Seinfeld is doing a Pop-Tarts origin movie for Netflix, but we still don't get Society Season 2.
Wait, what?
Jerry's
Pop-Tarts, an origin story. It's not a cartoon. It's a snack.
He's doing, like, a show about how they got their star. Jerry Seinfeld is set to star, write, direct, and produce a Pop-Tarts origin story inspired by one of his routines.
Okay, now, Netflix, is it animated?
Netflix has acquired the rights to the comedy feature film Unfrosted, which will tell the story of the invention of the sugary breakfast pastry.
Oh.
The invention of Pop-Tarts.
I don't think my father, the inventor of toaster strudel, would be too happy to hear about this.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to say, it sounds incredibly stupid, but, like, so did B-Movie. And that movie was so compelling, I literally cried.
B-Movie sounded stupid? I don't think so.
A movie about bees? Yeah, it did. And Jerry Seinfeld literally knocked that shit out of the park. Better than any episode of Seinfeld I've ever seen in my life. Sorry, I said it. And I'm honestly not going to knock this until I at least see a trailer. Yeah. I don't know how many people, like, need to hear the story of, like, how the Pop-Tart was invented, but, like, I think it could be good.
If it's, like, scripted, like, a show, that sounds cool. If it's going to be, like, all those shows on Food Network, which is, like, how you know, they on Food Network, they're always doing like little documentary episodes about like how
Unwrapped.
Food, Unwrapped, yeah.
That's the best show ever.
If this is gonna be Unwrapped, like I'm good. But if it's gonna be like a scripted fiction.
I think it is. That's show, what it sounded like.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean,
is this story worth telling? I don't know the origin of Pop-Tarts.
But you know what story is worth telling? The second season of The Society. wait, I had one more thing to say about this moronic idea. And that was, what were we talking about?
Pop-Tarts, Jerry Seinfeld.
A little bit earlier.
Unwrapped.
Yeah, right before that.
Society.
Right before that.
B-movie. Seinfeld. Yeah. Mm. Comedians in Cars?
No. When are we getting another season of that?
I don't know.
It looks like they could use some fresh comedians.
I need another season of that because sometimes I forget that comedy is more personal than food.
And it's so important that Jerry reminds you that all the time.
All the time.
Honestly, I don't think this is such a bad idea. Like, I might watch this.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you never know.
I've watched worse things, you know?
Yeah.
I watched The Big Shop with Bethany. Like, I can handle anything. Justice okay. for that show was so good.
Well, speaking of comedians in cars getting coffee, our fifth and final story is a new study that's great news for coffee lovers.
Oh, you know me. Obsessed.
Yeah. Coffee lovers are almost 50% less likely to die from chronic liver disease, a new study says.
So dark. Like,
turns out that extra coffee might end up saving your life. So it's good that you're on the coffee grind now, Claudia.
I feel like since... Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I remember. It's so random. Like, it honestly makes no sense. I don't even want to say it.
But now you have to.
So, like, in the, like, fifth grade, do you remember, like, having to do a project where, like, everyone had to do, like, a whole origin story on how something was invented? You know, everyone, like, did the light bulb or, like, something like the microwave. I chose, and this has to do with Pop-Tarts, I chose, and I don't know why, I chose the waffle cone. Like, I wanted to figure out, like, who invented the waffle cone. And what made it so difficult is, like, there's actually a really kind of confusing origin story on the waffle cone. And it's actually not even clear. Like, there's rumors that it happened at a world fair. Like, somebody took a waffle, put it in a cone. There's really no confirmation on how it actually started. But the whole point of the project is to detail the origin story of a certain product. And then my teacher called my parents and I got in trouble for choosing the waffle cone, and I had to go with the light bulb. So I just think, I hope Jerry doesn't run into that problem with the Pop-Tarts.
I think that he probably has it down pat.
Hopefully it's clear. Like,
yeah, but I can imagine that you should have just gone with who invented the waffle.
Yeah, no, I just like wanted to, I'm not like other girls, so I just wanted to be creative, and like everyone was doing like such obvious, like the kite, like we know is Benjamin Franklin, you know, like, no, he didn't invent the kite. He invented the electricity with the kite. You know what I mean? Like, everyone was just doing, like, textbook idiocy. Like, the phone, Alexander Graham Bell, duh. Like, we knew that. I just wanted to be different because I've never been like other girls. And I chose the waffle cone. And it literally, this project, like, tortured me in the fifth grade, like, for months.
I could see why. You should have either chosen, like, the waffle or the ice cream cone.
I just wish that there was an episode of Unwrapped that would have detailed how the waffle cone got started so I could have just plagiarized it for my paper.
Yeah. Well, if you had figured it out and you enjoyed a waffle cone, you should have had a cup of coffee with it.
Well, so that's what else what I was going to say. I just feel like there's all these studies. Like, I've been hearing about studies. It's always on the local news. And they, like, never come true. Like, it's, like, projection.
No, it's, like, I agree. Don't live your life based on this one study. But if you're currently a coffee drinker, like, that's good news for you. Like, don't be so worried about your habit.
No, I'm not worried at all. I just, like, I refuse to live my life by these studies. Like, I really do. And they're just constantly.
You have to live your life for you.
Yeah. And not for the scientists.
No. And no, you, like, if you want a cup of coffee, have one. If you don't, don't.
Cheers.
But now that you're joined the coffee club, I figured you'd want to hear this bit of good news that you're doing something for your health.
It's good because pretty much everything else I do in my life chips away at my health. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm 26 with the body of definitely like a 97-year-old based on just like how much I drink and like don't sleep and eat like an animal. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. So congrats, Claude.
Thank you. The scientists really did this one for me, I feel like. Yeah.
The scientists and their studies, you know.
So that was the fifth and final story. And I definitely feel as though you needed to know most of them.
Yeah, no, you needed to know most of them.
Let's dive into the TV recap segment, which is brought to you by Hair Food. Hair Food offers simple superfood-inspired products that will make your hair look and feel amazing. Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, Hair Food has a recipe for you. In addition to their beloved Nourishing Coconut Milk and Chai Spice collection, you've gotta try some of their new recipes. The Apple Cider Vinegar Hair Rinse is perfect for days when your hair needs a gentle cleanse before conditioning. I literally need to do that when I get home. The Turmeric and Almond Oil Detangling Milk takes care of the most stubborn knots and it reduces frizz because detanglers are not just for children. The Shea Butter and Pear Color Repair Concentrate makes overprocessed hair look vibrant and healthy. They all smell so good and they are certified PETA cruelty free. So if you're looking for nourished, healthy hair, it's gotta be Hair Food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target. The results are legit. My hair has been, the detangler is truly working miracles on my hair, and the apple cider vinegar hair rinse is so good for your hair. Like, it really detoxes all the crap out of it.
Amazing. Products. Thank you for that, Claude.
You're welcome. Let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because we finally got to hear from Erica exactly what's been going on. I agreed with the women that she definitely had like a much lighter spirit to her. But if I didn't know all that I know now, I would have felt last night's episode was so interesting, so sad. She's so brave. She's so courageous. Oh, her new house is so sad. Knowing what I know now from The Housewife and The Hustler and just like what's been going on in the news, like, I couldn't even watch this performance. Like, acting like they got divorced for any other reason besides the lawsuits is so inauthentic, and it's such a lie. But I do feel like for her own court appearances, like, she has to keep it up, the story that they got divorced. And I like how she admitted that she actually released it on Election Day to try and bury it. Like, I appreciate the transparency.
No, I appreciate that too. I don't know, like, I feel like we said this season, like, she needs to explain to us what happened. There's still some, like, there's still some wiggle room for her to let us know that she didn't know. But I feel like until the lawsuits become a subject on the show, she's not going to bring them up. So until we get there, like, I still can't believe fully. But I felt like we got way more last night than I expected to, yes, considering it's Erica and how much, like, legality is going on behind it. And I'm really, really curious is all. And also, like, I don't know, just some things weren't really adding up, because, like, I feel like every time, I mean, obviously, of course, if you're in a marriage and, like, you guys are together, you're not going to always talk about, like, the negative things. But I felt like for so long, it seemed like they had the best marriage. Like, Tom was her biggest cheerleader.
Well.
And so for now, her to say that, like, he treated her like an employee, I can, like, it just is so incongruous with everything that we saw.
Well, I had forgotten about Erica's first season where Tom was actually pretty active on the show, and they gave us a few clips. He used to, like, snap at everybody. I forgot about that.
Oh my God, I don't know. I completely, I had never seen that before. When they played the footage of, like, him snapping at Lisa Vanderpump,
I remember that, but I don't remember him snapping at Erica.
I was like, what? Did we ever see that? Because that's not the Tom that ever came through on the show.
He has been rehabilitated image-wise on the last few seasons. After his first season, they took him out and only showed him, like, once a season. And he was so supportive, helping her sign her Broadway contract, inviting the ladies over to their parlor and giving them drinks and telling funny stories about Erin Brockovich.
I never knew that his image on the show needed to be rehabilitated.
You don't remember that first season?
No, I don't remember him ever coming off badly.
Oh, I do.
And when he snapped at them, I'm like, oh, that's the man on the phone.
That's the voicemail guy. Yes.
That's sociopath Tom.
I remember it happening, but I had completely forgotten about it until they flashed back. And it was a gentle reminder that, like, he's actually a bad person.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I had completely forgotten about that. Her new house is nice for someone, but, like, going from the palace to the Palisades or whatever, like, it is a huge shift. And honestly, her assistant and Mikey, whatever his name is, being like, oh my God, it's gorgeous. Like, they're being very supportive and nice. Like, oh my God, it's going to be stunning. It's like, girl, it's a rental.
No, I thought the house was really cute. And also, like, given if this were just, you know, she's leaving her super wealthy husband and this is her new house, like, that's not what it is. It's like she's leaving the fucking scandal of the century. Like, she'd rather be in this house than in a prison cell.
She's fleeing, and this is, like, supposed to be a temporary thing. And I think that if it weren't for the lawsuits, this would be the place that she would chill at until she gets her settlement, Camille Grammer style, and then gets to spend her money how she pleases. But there's no money to get. Like, if they just got divorced, Thomas said at one point he had $80 million, and now he doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Erica's going to do financially if she gets out of this.
If she gets out of it, one, like, legally, and also, I don't know, there's so much that has to happen before before the judgment is made. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just like taking every piece of information, like adding it to the puzzle, the board of trying to understand the housewife and the hustler. Mm-hmm. And I felt
we need
like
more information for sure.
Yeah, we need more information. I don't know, because it's like if for 20 years like their relationship was this way of like him treating her like an employee and like so condescending, even though that's not what it seemed like. But then why leave now?
Right.
If you say you were going to hold this man's hand till he died and it's always been this way, and why, no did offense, you, why did you leave today?
That moment could potentially be around the corner. He's very old.
Well, and apparently, according to the courts,
he has dementia or Alzheimer's. Yeah. So it's just all very confusing, and there's so many lies, and all the women are believing what Erica says because they don't know what we know yet. So it's like frustrating. It's like, ask more questions.
No, but that's why I'm waiting for the Lionel suit to become public in real time, because we do have that scene of Dury talking about the orphans and widows. So,
and we do have the scene of Garcelle asking Erica, like, is that why you got divorced?
I think we'll get there in time. It's just moving a little slowly for me.
Okay, and then for me, for the rest of the episode, I actually found that to be like slightly more interesting, just because like this Erica stuff, knowing what I know now, it's like, girl, you could lie and say, like, he didn't tell you he loved you. Like, that's not why. But I found this Sutton and Crystal thing to be so interesting because I really sided with Crystal and Tahoe because, like, Sutton is weird and I can imagine her coming into a group and, like, Sutton's just being weird. Crystal's dragging it out so much and then, like, complaining that it's still happening when it's, like, literally still happening because he won't stop talking about it. And I really feel like I disagreed a lot with Garcelle last week, but I thought this week Garcelle was really very poignant. Like, okay, Sutton was acting weird. She wasn't being mean to anyone in Taj. She was just having like a few off days. And so for Crystal to call her manic and crazy is like so dramatic. And you just shouldn't be calling other women that. And then when Sutton pointed out like those words are so triggering for her because her dad committed suicide, which she had conveyed to Crystal, I'm like, you know what? You're actually right. Like, Crystal's being way dramatic.
No, I was glad to see Sutton standing up for herself because I think in Tahoe she like realized like, oh, her crazy is showing, like, I'm just gonna, you know, apologize and we're gonna try and smooth this over. But then, like, when the word violated started being thrown around, it became, like, so much bigger than it needed to be. And then Sutton, like, really stood her ground. I was happy to see her do that because it was so unnecessary, the whole thing. And I agree. The whole time I was, like, on Crystal's side because I feel like in that situation, like, I can imagine feeling like Crystal.
You would
like,
be the Crystal.
I really, really would.
And I would 100%
and
be
I would
Sutton.
Feel so fucking awkward. But they need to move on.
Yeah, and I really feel like Sutton has. Like, Sutton has not. She was glad that she accepted her apology. Sutton hasn't been speaking about it to anyone. And there's just, like, a million clips of, like, Crystal. She's like, well, I'll ask. I'm going to answer. Well, if you really wanted to get past it, if somebody asked you, you would say, honestly, we've gotten past it, and I don't want to rehash it. Like, that's a very normal thing to say.
Like, it wasn't a big deal. But, like, I can imagine if Dorit, the way she described what happened to Dorit.
So dramatic.
What happened while she was talking to Dorit. If Dorit were to watch the scene, like, that's not the
She dramatized.
She dramatized. And she, like, Sutton said one thing, but Crystal was like, she said something. She made me feel weird, as if these were all separate things. But it was just the one thing that she said that made her feel weird that was, like, awkward.
Yeah, and Crystal was definitely, you know, completely valid in her feelings the next morning. And I sided with Crystal because Sutton was being weird. But Sutton apologized immediately, is doing her best to move forward. And Crystal, like, won't let it go.
Yeah.
And she keeps complaining that everyone's still talking about it. It's like, you were still talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's where my focus for the episode was. I thought the evening at Crystal's looked so lovely. And it was so nice to see all the women devouring food. Because I feel like this group really doesn't eat. And they were like living for the dumplings. And they looked so good.
They looked really good.
I was starving watching the episode. Like, so hungry. But other than that, like, nothing else really happened. This whole Kyle and Dorit thing, I honestly don't even want to talk about. Because it's so stupid. And Kyle's so wrong.
Like, yeah, and I'm glad she changed her tone.
Yeah.
From, if you want to be my friend, you can't speak to me like that.
Shut up. Like, seriously, I hate when people say that. Like, don't talk to me that way. It's like, bitch, I'm going to talk to you however the fuck I want. Like, I hate when people say that, especially when Dorit, like, literally didn't say anything crazy.
No, not at all.
So that's that on that. Siesta Key.
Siesta Key. Okay, so people are coming to the island, and what, I mean, I'm really enjoying the Kara stuff. I need some more people to forgive her. Juliet has forgiven her because also, like, Juliet can't fight this war on so many fronts.
Juliet needs allies.
And I can, like, I really appreciate that she knows that. And so I'm really enjoying the friendship between Kara, Juliet, and Madison is also cool with Kara, too. Kelsey had her swimwear photo shoot, and it just, like, got really sad because, because, like, everyone was, like, fighting, and the sun was going down, and, like, she wasn't getting all the shots that
she
needed.
Did you get your JMP label bathing suit?
I got my JMP the label bathing suit. I sent Claudia a picture.
Sexy bikini photo.
I sent Claudia like a sexy bikini shot. And it is so good.
Really?
And the material is really good. And it like holds everything. I was really impressed. I'm going to wear it this weekend. And I just felt like it was really, it could work for anybody.
Love
that. I really, really do. So I was really impressed with JMP the label, and I'll like post pictures this weekend.
Sexy.
If I'm feeling myself, you know, yeah. But like a bikini pic is a scary,
so scary,
thing. scary thing.
Don't commit to the bikini pic.
No, but like maybe I can finesse something.
Facetune,
a strong. Yeah. What else happened? Juliet and Sam are really cute, and again, he's like so unnatural on camera, which we love to see.
Love to see a humble man.
Yeah, we really do, and I guess it's like, I'm trying to think what else happened. Juliet's upset that like Kelsey is like using the trip to do her photo shoot.
That is annoying.
For her bathing suit. And like the more that I think about it, I really wish that Juliet and Kelsey could have gotten along and launched just one swimsuit line together. Because it would have been like the Siesta Key swimwear. Like it would have been amazing. But they just, you know.
Maybe there'll be a merger in the future.
I don't think so. They're like so against each other. But also Kelsey really, like I feel like for so many seasons, she was just sort of like happy to be the supporting actor.
Yes.
And like she just woke up and is like, I am the main star. Character.
I actually really see that, and I completely agree. And that's always the worst type of reality star, the one who thinks that they're the star when they're so clearly not.
But she's like, she's doing everything. Like she's taking it on.
Sure. She could be pop. Like she's never going to be Juliet.
Well, Juliet is the full-time narrator now. Like, remember in the beginning, every episode, it was someone different.
By someone else.
And now it's totally Juliet. Also, Chloe has quit the show.
Yes.
Which I haven't really noticed her absence. I feel like she was always fanning the flames of drama, which is why she wanted to quit, because she didn't know how to stop doing that. And it was making her, like, a
That's
toxic
for the best.
Person. And it is for the best, because, like, I just want to see these things develop the way that they normally would, because these
Without
people are
someone,
so,
yeah.
like, crazy and interesting. They don't need to manufacture drama.
Mm-hmm.
So glad to see Kara back. I hope that she can make amends with more people. She's doing like a pretty good job so far. And like every time she goes to apologize to someone, she's like so, you know, like kind of humbling herself in earnest. But like the minute she gets pushback, she just turns into such a bitch.
I feel that 100%.
No, it's like, okay, I tried.
No, and it's like, listen, don't mistake my humility for weakness. Like I'm just trying to move on. And if you can't, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I fully respect that. All right. So good. I really need to catch up on that. Maybe I'll download it on my iPad.
It's
the plane.
It's really good this season, and this island situation is just
such
amazing.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show. Unfortunately, it's our final show of the week. So we'll be back Monday with, you know, hopefully some good news in the Free Britney movement, and hopefully some mindful news.
And if you want more content from us, you can always head to patreon.com/morningtoast, because there's so much content there ready and willing to get you through the weekend.
So thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have an amazing weekend, you guys. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye.